Appreciate the Lord today and appreciate the meeting we've had so far. I've enjoyed listening to what the Lord's given us, and I'd rather do that today. But the Lord's been talking to me already about this, and the message this morning was just seemed like kind of the precursor to this message today that the Lord gave us. As I thought about a resurrected life, there's a very clear difference between a resurrected life and one that we're living dead in the flesh. And it's one that the Lord wants us all to realize in each one of our lives. He has an experience for us where we can live anew. We can know the true meaning of the doctrine we heard about today, of what the first resurrection means and what death truly means, death to our flesh. And so today I just want to talk a little bit about the application of the difference, how that looks in our personal lives. Because we can come to a meeting like this and get so much knowledge and understanding, and then there's the application of it, and that's where it really matters, is in the real world, where we live, where we interact with people, and where they see us live this out before them. So I want to start in Romans 6 and 4. Romans 6 and 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Yes. The Lord has this experience where we're dead to our flesh. We're dead to those things that were past. And he's raised us up by his glory. Not our own glory. It's not something that we're identified in, but it's Christ identified in us. Yes. And it's raising us up to new life. We're no longer that old person we used to be. We're no longer those identifiers that we used to live by. We have new identifiers we live by. And it's Christ living in us. This is a newness of life. It is a new and living way. It brings life to us. It brings happiness and joy. All those things that are opposite of what our old life brought. It brings the opposite of those things. This is what salvation is meant to be for all of us, is that we have the opposite effect that sin had in our lives. And if we're living somewhere between a new life and still holding on, then we're not going to have that joy and that peace. But the Lord wants us to be completely dead to those things and to be completely alive in him. And this is where the new church was founded, was on this principle of newness of life. They had their old law. They had their old religion. And they were very strong in that. But yet, we see that when the disciples were called before the Sanhedrin, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. There was something different about those men than even what they were a few months before. And Peter, he cowered in fear, and he was afraid of what people thought. He was afraid for his own life. And yet, you see him standing up on the day of Pentecost, a completely different person. And they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You know, we can have that experience too, where people can take knowledge that we're different. Amen. We're not just different in the way we look, but we're different in our actions, in the personality of Christ. We can have his image on us. You know, the Jews, they were already a different people. They had their law. They were very different from the pagans around them. And yet the Christians were different from the Jews and the pagans. In Ezekiel 44 and 23, it says, talks about the difference. And this is still in the Old Testament. 44 and 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And this is much more magnified in the New Testament. The Lord wanted a difference in his people in the Old Testament, in the Old Law, and he wanted a very different experience, even more than they had. Jesus said, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they were the epitome of the Old Law. But he said, your righteousness needs to exceed that. It's not going to be in these outward acts that we do that we impress people like the Pharisees were doing, but it's going to be a change in our heart, to take that stony heart out and to give us our heart of flesh where God can work with it, where he can be a difference in us. And so I wanted to pick up an interesting verse that just kind of started this whole thought, is in Acts 6. Acts 6 and 7. This is where the disciples, the number of the disciples were growing greatly, and it was getting too much for the elders to take care of everything, so they looked out them seven men of good report, and it's just kind of talking about the church. So to me, this is daily application of how it looks. So they put these seven men full of the Holy Ghost over the works of the church, and then in the seventh verse it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But what stood out to me was the priests were obedient to the faith, a great number of them. The ones that were so defensive of this when Jesus was here, they were changed. What did they see that was so different from what they held so strongly right before? They saw something different, and they were obedient to the faith. You know, the old law was weak in the flesh. It could only go so far. And I want to just think a little bit about the applications of it. What did they see in these godly men that made them change their mind and think there's got to be something more than what I'm just holding on to right now? So let's get that first. Before we go to the application, let's look at Romans 8 and 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is what they saw. They saw that these men did no longer walk after their flesh. They no longer were held by fear, like Peter was held. They no longer were held to those lusts that they could not accomplish. Paul talks about his experience, and this was the experience of all of us before we had newness of life. In the seventh chapter of Romans, where he talks about the struggle. And so these priests, they had pricks in their heart just like Paul did. When Paul said, when Jesus told him, you're kicking against the pricks. These are some of these pricks. And these are some of the pricks that we can give people today in our daily application of living a new life in Christ, is that we don't react the way the world reacts. Amen. We can live above those things that are drawing us down. The life that Paul described in the seventh chapter is a very miserable experience. And it's something that the old law was weak. It could not fix their heart. You know, there were things in the old law that God winked at. Their ignorance and their ability to be able to live a holy life. There were things that the old law could not do. And these priests that were converted to the faith, they must have been pricked. They understood the struggle that was going on. They couldn't get above the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life. That's what drove them to do what they did sometimes. The Pharisees, they wanted to look good. It was the pride of life. It was the lust of their flesh. And so these men were not exempt from anything that we deal with today. We're all human. We deal with these struggles, and they needed something stronger. And so they found it. They converted to the faith. And it's sad to me that there's so many in that old religion that are still clinging so hard to that old law, when at the beginning there was a great number of them that converted. And the Lord has a spiritual heritage for his people, a new Jerusalem, one where we are spiritual Jews. We're children of Abraham through faith. And so these men, some of these priests, maybe they were part of the Sanhedrin. Maybe they were ones that saw some of the Christians persecuted, and they saw that they just loved even more. They didn't retaliate like the world retaliates. They didn't stare at them in fear when they were threatening them with their lives. But they said, oh no, we can but speak the things that we've seen and heard. This is all we have to offer. We can't do anything else. This is a completely new experience. So, one of the things that Jesus said was, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And there, when we're directed by the impulses of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, we cannot have true love one for another, like Jesus said, because we'll be putting ourselves above others. We'll be putting our desires above others. But you see in the application of this in Acts, when the early morning church was first started, people were selling their belongings. They were giving to one another. It was just a beautiful example of selfless living, of godly living. And they saw all this. And they saw the true meaning of Jesus, where he said to have love one for another. This, what Brother Dan preached about this morning, a resurrected life, ought to be one of the heralded messages of the church. Yeah. It is different than a lot of what the Protestant churches teach today. But it's a life of victory. It's a life of peace, and it's the Bible way. Let's go to James 1 and 26. Well, let's go to Romans 6. Brother Dan read this morning, but I already had it written down too. Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There is a difference the Lord wants to bring us in our life. He wants to show the world there's a difference. We don't have to continue in sin. We are dead to that. We don't need to live any longer therein. The things of the world, the things that attract people in the world, we can kill those things. Sure, we're tempted, but we don't have to yield to that. We can live anew. We don't have to go with the pride and fashion of the world. We don't have to follow them in their idea of what a perfect family looks like. We don't have to follow them in their idea of what happiness looks like. We ought to be the trendsetters, not the followers. We are the ones, by the help of the Lord, because it's our life in Christ that's being lived. And we don't have to be swayed by the world. If they say we're different, well, that's what I mean to be. I mean to be different. I want to be different than the world. I want to be honest in my business dealings. I want to show people that I can have a clear conscience and still go through very difficult meetings and fess up to my faults on the job and those things that are hard to swallow. And maybe it might be better to seem like for the near future to just tell a little lie here or not just kind of fudge the truth here and there. No, that's not what we want. We want to be true through and through, where people can believe our word. When there was a man a while back that he knew he could trust this man. He didn't. He got aggravated at one point with him because he wouldn't fudge the truth a little bit, but then at another point, he said, "I know I can trust you. I need to really know your opinion." And so the world does that. They go from one extreme to the other. Whatever fits, whatever makes them feel good. But we're consistent because we're tied to this consistent book, to the law of God, where He controls the character of our lives. That's what we want to be alive to. We want to be dead to the impulses of the flesh. James 1 and 26 and 27. Here's another application of a different life. James 1, 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there's a difference in living a life alive unto God. We can bridle this tongue. There's another scripture that talks about the tongue being an unruly evil that no man can tame. That's over here in the third chapter of James. But we must do that. We must give our passions, our emotions over to the Lord and let Him direct us. And when we have a little slip up, it's not the end all. The Lord has a heart of love for these. He is so merciful to us. And I don't want to preach something I don't live. There are times when we need to seek the Lord and to seek Him earnestly. A life like this is not just a quick decision that we make one time and then we're off to the races. But it's a consistent life of seeking God of seeking His character emanating from our lives. It does not just happen overnight, but we're seeking God. Lord, change me, make me, mold me into Your image. Every day we get up, we should be asking the Lord to mold us more into His image, to give us grace for that day. So the 27th verse says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled before God. That's what we want. We want everything that we do here. We have this meeting. We don't want any of ourselves on display. We don't want our flesh to be seen. We don't want our own willpower to be shown. But pure religion, it's undefiled. There's not any corruption in it. Is to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. So how are we doing in that application? That's a good one to just ask ourselves in our own private time. We spend a lot of time on keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. But how are we doing with the other application of it? To visit the fatherless and the widows. You know, this all speaks of a very selfless life. A selfless life is one that gives of their time, that gives of their talents and their money. And we see that a lot with you all here today. I'm not throwing any stones today, just giving what the Lord gave me. But truly, to live a life dead to the flesh and to live it anew to the Spirit is to live a selfless life. That's by definition a selfless life. You cannot be selfish and live a new life in Christ. We have to be dead to our desires, to be passionate about doing the things of Christ, to want to do that. It's not a drudgery. It's not a drudgery to work here. It's not a drudgery to do the Lord's work, but it's a privilege I get to. This is part of my religion. I want to be undefiled before God. I want His work to be first and foremost in my life, to where we don't have to look at it as a weight, as a load, but this is our undefiled desire, our pure desire to just please the Lord in all that we do, in our work, in our actions, in our private devotions, and in our time, that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, that's a selfless action too, to keep yourself unspotted from the world, because that means you're dying to what you want to do. We're already... Our human minds are pre-programmed to want to just be defiled. But the Lord wants us to die to those things, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. It's a selfless life where we're not on display in our acts of service, nor in our desires to live pleasing to the Lord. In the doctrine, to be pure in doctrine, to be pure in following the Scripture in everything that we do, in the way we act, the way we look. We want this attitude. Lord, I want You on display. And you know that'll fix all these other questions we have. When we put the Lord first, when we put others first, that's what this scripture is also meaning. Jesus told the rich young ruler that what was the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then there's another place where He said, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, this scripture goes right along with that. And if we can do that, all these other things will fall into place. we won't be struggling with trying to put ourselves on display when we're putting the Lord first. I wanted to just encourage us today that we follow the Lord completely, that we truly want a different life. Sometimes life gets busy and the pressures of the world get on, and we hear the philosophy of the world all day, every day. We hear it at work. We hear it from so many people around us. And sometimes we have to just clear our mind. We have to do that every day, to clear our mind, to truly get the mind of the Lord. Because most of what we hear out there does not apply here. It does not apply to living a new life, to living a different life. It's what we want to be. It's not something we need to be ashamed of, to walk around and think, oh, we're going to have to bring this easy on people. No, but we need to be proclaiming this. This is what God has for each and every person. Everyone out there, the Lord has an experience for you where you can be victorious, where you don't have to live to those passions. It's a beautiful message of the gospel to live a different life in Christ. You pray for me.